It is 10:58 p.m. and we are recapping the 2020 MTV Video Music Awards. The telecast took place Sunday night in the shadow of a pandemic, in the midst of major civil unrest, and in the aftermath of actor Chadwick Boseman's death. The VMAs couldn't have live audiences, so we got a lot of pre-taped performances in front of green screens from artists like BTS. Plus, it was a big, big night for a masked Lady Gaga. I'm Stephen Thompson. We are recapping the 2020 MTV VMAs on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
I'm Guy Raz, and on NPR's How I Built This, how a simple splash of color accidentally launched Sandy Chilowich into a 40-year career as a designer, entrepreneur, and creator of the now famous Chilowich placemat. Subscribe or listen now.
Welcome back. Joining us from her home in Boston is Margaret Willison, who is one half of the Two Bossy Dames newsletter and one third of the Appointment Television podcast. Welcome back, Margaret.
Hi, Stephen.
It's great to have you here. Also with us from her home in Philadelphia is Christina Tucker of the Unfriendly Black Hotties podcast. Hey, Christina.
What is up, friends? Let's do this.
It is a pleasure to have you both here. Now, before we talk about the VMAs, the awards opened with host Keke Palmer paying tribute to the actor Chadwick Boseman, who died Friday after a four-year battle with colon cancer. He was 43. As the VMAs did, I think we should kick off the show just by saying a few words quickly about Chadwick Boseman, who was a wonderful actor. I just, kind of to pay tribute to him, rewatched Black Panther last night and just was really in awe of his presence. You saw that presence in a string of biopics where he played James Brown and Thurgood Marshall and Jackie Robinson. And then earlier this year, you saw him in The Five Bloods, where he is just providing this central presence. Like, he was just a remarkable actor. And I think just the shock of hearing about his death has hit so many people so hard. Nobody outside of his closest circle knew this was coming. And I think that made it all the more devastating. The show paid tribute to him in an interesting way. The Keke Palmer statement looked like it was shot on an iPhone, while everything else looked really, really slick. And that should give you a sense, I think, of just how pre-taped everything was in this VMAs. Keke Palmer did lots of little interstitial bits. I mean, there were many opportunities, if they were recorded after Friday, there were many opportunities for her to fold in commentary on Chadwick Boseman. And clearly they were all recorded before Friday night. So I think that gives you a sense of kind of the loss of spontaneity that I think went on at the VMAs. And I think that that kind of carried over into the performances, which to me kind of blurred the lines between live performances and music videos. What did you guys think?
I felt pretty high most of the time while I was watching this. It was a very disorienting experience. It just was...
Oh, boy.
The spaces, they were so confusing. And the only time that I really felt, like, connected was when it was Lady Gaga, and I just felt like she came on, and I was like, oh, sure, she's been training for this her whole life.
Yeah, I felt entirely unmoored from space and time watching it. I could not tell what was part of the show. I could not tell what was ads. I could not tell who performers were, where they were, why they were anywhere. It was just a fully baffling experience, which in a way made it kind of fun, but I still feel so disoriented from it. That just could be the high of the VMAs talking.
Yeah, I think disorienting is a good way to put it. And I think, Christina, you bring up a great point about how blurred the lines were, not only between live performance and music video, but as you said, between live performance and commercial. You had several commercials where it was like, the Toyota Highlander presents J Balvin. And so you couldn't even tell sometimes when you were watching advertorial. I mean, the VMAs are already kind of advertorial to begin with.
Right.
Absolutely.
But like, oh my God, I'm in such suspense about who could possibly be winning this award. I wonder which of the five people performing tonight it will be.
They did not hide the ball very well about whether the people who were performing on that given night were going to be winning VMAs.
They put Miley Cyrus right on that ball. Come on now.
What you mentioned Miley Cyrus. I mean, what popped for you performance-wise? Because there were a bunch of like very high-tech, high-touch, high-production performances. I mean, performers pulled out all the stops tonight. Were there any that jumped out at you guys?
Lady Gaga's performance was impeccable. Just like truly, if anybody has been ready to perform in like a series of elaborate mask-based costumes, it's definitely it's like Lady Gaga and the Jabberwockies, and they were both here tonight. So when she like did the quick change inside her secret chamber and then walked up to her brain piano to play an acoustic version of Stupid Love, I was like, this is everything I wanted from tonight.
You're the one that I've been waiting for. Gotta quit this crying. Nobody's gonna heal me if I don't open the door. Kinda hard to believe. Gotta have faith in me.
I agree that I thought that Lady Gaga performance, it was very much presented almost like a Super Bowl halftime show. It was a big medley. You had Ariana Grande come out to perform Rain on Me with her, but it was mostly kind of a career retrospective somewhat for Lady Gaga. Christina, what performance popped for you?
So for me, I loved Maluma's Hawaii performance. I thought he was incredible. And CNCO's performance of Beso, also incredible. What was confusing about that was that it was clearly occurring in the Cars universe as they were performing to Cars. Again, because it wasn't a commercial, I wasn't sure. Here we are just performing these songs that honestly, both of them are bops, just to Cars, and was very confused.
Yeah. Now, when you say the Cars universe, both Maluma and CNCO performed at like drive-in performances where you had the audience consisted of cars instead of people. And so it did appear to be taking place in the movie Cars. Margaret, how about you?
Well, I would say that one of the more surprising cohesive themes of the evening was glowing crotches, which we got from both Doja Cat and the Black Eyed Peas, which again, the Jabberwockies was a twist, but the Black Eyed Peas, I just never saw that coming.
I don't need to see that close up. I'm all set.
And the performance of I've Got a Feeling was very apt for 2020. That was the feeling that I get from this year. I've got a feeling. We'll send love to the first responders and the freedom fighters. I got a feeling. I know it's tough right now. We gotta keep the love alive. I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. It was disorienting and bad. Nothing about it was great. And then it was over. And I was like, well, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, performance-wise for me, I mean, I thought the BTS performance of Dynamite, this was the first time that BTS actually performed on the VMAs. They've had sort of a tertiary presence on past VMAs, but they've never been kind of fully integrated into the show. And they performed Dynamite, and again, like, all bets are off regarding green screen. They just changed the set behind them multiple times over the course of the performance. Like, they were not pretending to be on a stage in New York City with like virtual crowds situated around them at all. They were just doing their thing in front of a bunch of green screens. But that song is, I think Dynamite is an absolute bop.
Yeah, it's a banger, no doubt.
The other performance that I thought stood out was the rapper DaBaby with the aforementioned Jabberwockies. I mean, you can talk about the Jabberwockies in 2020 all you want, but I thought that particular performance at least managed to tap into some of the themes surrounding police brutality and just kind of the moment that we're in. I mean, between that and the very short speeches by The Weeknd, you know, where The Weeknd kind of decided to forego thanking people and just demanded justice.
It's really hard for me to celebrate right now and enjoy this moment. So I'm just going to say justice for Jacob Blake and justice for Breonna Taylor. Thank you.
Yeah, I think another thing that made that feel a little perplexing was also the incredible branding that they were trying to do of social justice and like systemic issues. And it was like, this is social justice sponsored by Pepsi, or this is social justice sponsored by gum. And I was like, I don't love the energy that I understand what you're trying to do. I just wish it wasn't happening on this show where I already can't tell what's a commercial and what's a performance and what's genuine. And now I'm supposed to be able to decipher like, what of this branded social justice is? Like, I can't. That's too far. We've gone too far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and speaking of interesting packaging, they typically at the VMAs give out something called the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award, which is basically the VMAs Hall of Fame. And this year, with no explanation or mention, they did not give out a Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award and instead gave Lady Gaga something called the Tricon Award, which they never really explained. I assume it means like triple threat icon.
The Tricon Award as a name is a real try-non for me, but I like that they're going for it.
Oh, boo.
Jeez Louise. I was going to say, I kept wanting to call it the Tryhard Award.
Yeah.
Which it invites the comparison.
And would not be inapt as an award for Lady Gaga.
Well, but God bless, man. She did work.
She did.
She did deserve a Video Vanguard Award. I can't believe that she does not have one already.
It was astonishing to me. I thought they invented the new award just so they could have another way to give her a Video Vanguard Award.
Yeah. As mentioned, Lady Gaga won the Tricon Award. She also won Song of the Year, Artist of the Year, Best Collaboration, and Best Cinematography. If there was an award for most kick-ass mask, Lady Gaga would have had all the nominations and it would have been like a 4 or 5-way tie. I wanted to quickly buzz through some of the other notable winners over the course of the night. The Weeknd, as I mentioned, won a couple times. He won Video of the Year and Best R&B. BTS was kind of the biggest non-Lady Gaga winner of the night. They took trophies for Best Pop, Best Group, Best K-Pop, and Best Choreography. Taylor Swift won Best Director for directing the video for The Man. She accepted her award from what looked like an economy suite at the Ramada Inn. Megan Thee Stallion won Best Hip Hop for Savage. Her won Video for Good, which is kind of their social justice prize for her song I Can't Breathe. Maluma won Best Latin for Que Pena. Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber won Best Music Video from Home, kind of speaking to the moment with their song Stuck With You, which I guess also apt. And Best New Artist, which is voted on by the audience, that went to Doja Cat. So those were the awards themselves. What did you guys think of Keke Palmer, the host?
Keke Palmer held that thing together with her own wigs and characters and, you know, just the most auntie spirit to ever live inside of a 27-year-old woman. I just think she's incredible. I want her to have everything.
To summon that much sincere energy in front of a vacuum?
Yeah.
Or like just like a hologram of dark soul dancers on top of buildings, just like trapped, haunted people. It's just truly, what a talent. Future Tricon winner, Keke Palmer.
And Keke Palmer did perform. I mean, I was a little mixed on the actual material she was working with. I thought some of those skits were just kind of okay. But like you said, I mean, this was an incredibly difficult hosting task. Hosting awards shows, we have said often on this show, hosting awards shows is really, really hard. Manufacturing energy when absolutely no one is, like three Teamsters are in the room with you and you manufacture like MTV VJ energy where you are like kind of whipping up a non-existent crowd, that is very, very hard to do. And I give her a lot of credit for that. Well, we want to know what you think about this year's VMAs. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. One last thing before we go, please make sure to check out the annual summer poll from NPR Books. Listeners and a panel of experts, including one Margaret H. Willison, curated a wonderful list of 100 books for young readers. The list includes classic picture books like Goodnight Moon, great chapter books for beginning readers, and a few treats for older kids. It is a great discovery tool. You can find the list at npr.org/kidsbooks. Again, that's npr.org/kidsbooks. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Was I here?
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here on Friday when we'll be talking about the new Disney movie, Mulan.